We've gotten a wake-up call. Is anybody listening?
There is a war going on right now. And the minute the war will move down to Earth, that's when we have to check out of here.
Welcome to Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell, brought to you by Olive Tree Ministries. Today, Jan talks to Israeli Amir Sarfati about the fundamental transformation of society in less than 3 months, thanks to the coronavirus. This is part one of a two-part series with Amir. Amir Sarfati is an Israeli tour guide, Bible teacher, and an author. Now here is today's program.
God is moving. He is moving in greater ways than you can imagine. And yes, there is deception. The enemy is moving ahead with his deception. The world is not going to get better. The world is not going to get wonderful. The world is not going to get safer and easier. Things are going south. Jesus said, I'm going now to prepare a place for you. And then if I go, I will come back and then I will receive you unto myself. He said, to where I am, you will also be. He is not saying, I want you to prepare a place for me here. So when I come where you are, I will also be. No. It is evident that the world is going so bad, we need to be out of here in order for God to deal with all of the wickedness that is going to reign here in a short time. We're already seeing it all around us.
Welcome to the program. So glad you can join me this week. That was the familiar voice of Amir Sarfati, who will join me momentarily. But I want to set the stage before he and I talk, because I have watched a nation, frankly, I've watched the world transform. Yes, a fundamental transformation in less than 3 months. Let's confine this comment section here to America. I've seen this country, thanks heavily to media manipulation, go from, well, a roaring economy filled with entrepreneurial, freedom-loving Americans to a society that is arresting business owners who must put food on the table and releasing hardened criminals from jail back into society. And vast segments of America were okay with all of this in the name of keeping people healthy. In other words, frankly, I feel like I have fallen down the hole of Alice's Wonderland. I feel like I'm answering now to a bunch of mad hatters. Let's just call them global elites who say they have our best interests in mind, but do they really? If I did not know how it all ends, and I mean from the perspective of the Bible, I know I could not have kept my sanity since this drama began in March of this year. But you know, folks, the beauty of the Bible is that it tells us the future in advance. It tells us in 2 Timothy 3 that the last days would be perilous times, that self and money would drive everything, that society would gradually fall apart and eventually have to be put together again by a man with a plan. His title is the Antichrist. First, Jesus Christ rescues his church from the carnage in what is known as the rapture. To help me sort this out for the next couple of programs is Amir Sarfati. He is founder of Behold Israel. Some of you have had tours to Israel led by Amir. Others of you have heard him at churches and conferences around the world, and he's been, my understanding of the time, conference speaker. Every year since 2015, I've gotten to know him, even traveled a little bit with Behold Israel and gotten to know the whole team. Amir Sarfati, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Jan. It's my pleasure, as always.
Amir, not that long ago in January, late January, you and I, we were ministering in Southern California, proximity, and there were some rumblings about a virus. Life hadn't changed yet, late January 2020. Now we are in May, and look how fast things have changed. Did you expect things to move so quickly?
I don't think anyone expected that. I'm not even sure those who released the virus expected it to be that big. But very shortly after I got back from the U.S., I gave a few updates on this topic, and I was convinced that it is going to make a landfall in most of the world, certainly in America, and it is going to hit us hard. Now, from the very get-go, I was convinced that it is a lab-made, manufactured virus to this day, I'm not sure if it was intentionally released out, if it accidentally came out. One thing is for sure, this type of virus is definitely humanly engineered, and it is doing that which it was originally designed to do.
Yes.
It is highly infectious. It is spreading very fast. But at the same time, within 4 to 6 weeks, you see the curve going flat, or flatter, or going down at least a little bit, and then it'll go away. I think that what you and I are watching and are being shocked by is not necessarily that which the virus is doing from the medical perspective. It is more how it is being taken by the establishment. The media is hyping it. Doctors are knowingly treating the patients in the wrong way because they're being given orders to avoid certain medications and to keep proceeding in a certain direction. You just quoted Timothy about the love of money.
Yes.
It appears that much of this has to do with money. Much of it has to do with patents. It has to do with money of big pharmaceutical companies.
Vaccines.
Vaccines, exactly. Much of it has to do with a way to control society. And this is the first time in the history of planet Earth that the entire population of the world of over 190 countries is affected at the same time, the same way.
Amir, both you and I have messages about the globalist cabal. We are blunt in these messages. I've heard yours a couple of times, and they have a very dark agenda. They are in a hurry. They've tried to create a globalist empire, actually for 5,000 years, made up of bankers, movers and shakers, 24 organizations, industrialists. And then I heard your message. It would have been in late February. I heard you give a message that was stunning. And folks, as I describe this, I want you to hold your speculation and skepticism about what we're going to talk about, because what Amir presented in late February was so absolutely right on. But it'll sound a little strange. The satanic plot to reduce Earth's population? Folks, it's all outlined. It's outlined all sorts of places. We can start with the Georgia Guidestones that outlines the fact that the globalists want the population down to 500 million people. So I heard this message of yours, Amir, in February. I want to talk about it for just a minute or two, because you cite the following ways that the global elite are trying to reduce Earth population. And you include COVID. You throw in vaccinations. You include abortion. You include, let's redefine marriages, fewer births, drug legalization. People can be more controlled if they are on drugs. Climate change due to too many people. I want to play just a short clip. It's you in this message where you're sort of summarizing the purpose of the message that you've given here on the satanic plot to reduce Earth's population.
But you need to understand there is a group of people, and you must understand, I'm not sensationalizing anything here. I'm actually quoting what they say about themselves. There's a group of people in this world, predominantly in America, in Western Europe, some in other places around the world, they believe that they are the enlightened ones. They believe that they have seen the light. They believe that they know better than you, that they understand better than you. They believe that they ought to make the decisions for you, because all of you are incapable of taking the right decision. And by the way, they mock and ridicule politicians. The politicians are, for them, those who just dance before them and play before them. I'm talking about a cartel of international bankers, industrialists, based mostly, as I said, in Western Europe and North America. The names of certain of those families persist over long periods of time. Some of the most important ones are the Rothschild, the Rockefellers, Morgan, Lazard, Warburg, Schroeder, and what? Schiff! I wish I could laugh. I wish I could laugh. But what we've been witnessing in this country is an ongoing madness orchestrated by this group of people to bring about something else. And they want you to understand that they've seen the light. They want you to understand, so they're using symbols. symbols that will allow you to understand the light that came, the all-seeing eye that is always there. They completely not acknowledging God himself. They made sure it will be worshipped and it will be on your dollar bill. They made sure it will be everywhere. They made sure that those symbols will be inserted in the subconscious of every American, every person even around the world. And they make sure that while they may say that in God we trust, in actuality, it's not even the case. They are actually looking at pyramids that pagans used to worship.
You can find Amir's message on YouTube. You just have to go to YouTube and then type in the topic that we're talking about, and that would be the satanic plot to reduce Earth's population. This was an amazing message, Amir. You really were inspired that day.
I was. It's gotten a little bit too much. I've seen too many attempts that are so blunt. We can see through things. Once you know them and how they operate, yes, you easily can smell from afar what they do and see their fingerprints and their footprints and everything. You know, you see that in the way they handled the attempts to throw Trump out of office. You see that in the way they are celebrating now the downfall of your economy because of the COVID-19.
Right.
You see how they literally have disregard to human lives. I mean, I'm thinking about the abortions in the country, and I'm thinking about how they define everything as if it's the right to choose for a woman, whereas people forget it, the baby is not the woman's body.
Right.
Sorry, they have two different hearts, two different brains and everything. This is a separated thing. You may have ownership over your own body, but not over something else. The way they word things, the way they bring them through in the media, the way they convince people, this is so, I mean, for me, so transparent. I mean, I can see that.
They are the illuminated. And as you said in that little clip we played, they think that we are incapable of understanding things, that we are incapable of running a country or running anything because they, the global elite, have to do it for us. I think they think we are morons.
Well, let's put it this way. There's enough people that vote for their candidate. There's enough people that are buying their ideas. There's enough people that promote their agenda. They do have many followers.
They do.
Yeah, they don't think you're dumb. They can prove you're dumb. For them, look at the numbers. They hate Christians.
Yes.
Because the spiritual aspect in the Christian plays a huge role in exposing that darkness.
Yes. I want to zero in on the word vaccination because we're talking here about reducing Earth's population. Again, this is the goal of the global elite, folks. I mean, it's posted various places. And again, I referenced Georgia Guidestones where they spell out their goals, their purposes, their agenda, so to speak, in multiple languages. It's an amazing thing. I can't imagine why Georgia would have agreed to have that be there. It's put up there by the global elite. You have listed COVID, vaccinations, abortions, redefined marriage, the climate change due to too many people. Let's focus for just a minute on the COVID vaccine. That is the talk of everybody right now. You cover that real brilliantly online. You talk about it in some of your Q&As. Because we're coming to a point where the average listener right now is going to be faced with a decision, probably within a year anyway. Do they take a vaccination or do they not? You and I aren't necessarily anti-vaccination, but there are some troubling aspects to what's going on with COVID.
Well, let's put it this way. You're right. I'm not anti-vaccinations at all. Not at all. I mean, vaccinations save many people's lives along the years. But unfortunately, not every vaccination is needed. In fact, vaccinations become the way to control people's life in a different way. For example, if you don't show that you gave enough vaccinations to your kid, you won't be able to register him to certain schools. He won't be able to do certain activities. I believe that with the COVID-19, you won't even be able to fly.
That's right.
They're going to make it very, very clear. We will not allow international travel for people who never vaccinate themselves. Much of what we see with the vaccination has to do with the greed of the pharmaceutical companies. And not with real concern about the health of anyone. I'm not ruling out all vaccinations, not at all. I know for a fact that there are several vaccinations that are not only not needed, but they're actually hurting people. They damage people, and we know that. It's facts that the establishment don't want you to know. By the way, in my message, COVID was one thing, and the vaccinations were another thing. The COVID was a way to spread viruses, to create panic. Look, the virus, let's face it, it did kill people. It came in addition to the flu, not instead of the flu. So there was the flu throughout the winter, and then came COVID and killed almost the same people that normally die from flus. They managed to kill people that way. Italy lost so many people.
Right.
Most of its elderly population in northern Italy is gone. So you have that, and then you have vaccinations that in many cases do not help, but actually make things worse. You're injecting into yourself stuff
right.
The body really doesn't need. You know, I'll give you an example. The very first vaccination that you get when a baby is born is really not effective until that person will become a toddler or maybe even a teenager. And by then, it's already expired. You'll need another one anyway. So what's the point of giving it to him when he's born? And you ask the companies and they tell you, because we can. There is no other reason.
Yes.
We can. And so, yes, there are vaccinations for very deadly diseases that I believe people should take, and it's good. I believe we should be very open to the possibility that they release viruses in order to create vaccinations, in order to make the money on them.
There's another ingredient here, as you well know, Amir, and I'm talking to Amir Sarfati this hour. You can learn more at beholdisrael.org, beholdisrael.org. And he also has a new book out, and we're going to get to that eventually here. It's called The Day Approaching, an Israeli's Message of Warning and Hope for the Last Days, because my ministry is carrying it in my online store. We'll say more about that because we've got a lot to talk about yet. I don't want to marginalize the time for the book that Amir has written, his second book. But there's another ingredient here, Amir, and that is that people are so concerned that any kind of, okay, a vaccine, some of the things that we're talking about, for that matter, Prime Minister Netanyahu has just announced that sensors will be placed in Israeli children as a result of COVID. But here's the concern. Is this mark of the beast? And what I have said now for a month on air is we don't have a beast, so I don't think we have to worry about a mark of a beast right now. And I think I need you to back me up here on that.
I believe that when Netanyahu said what he said, it was just a suggestion to something that we may consider doing as a technological solution for future outbreaks of viruses like that. The mere fact that this even becomes an idea that is being expressed by prime ministers and leaders of countries is telling you that, first of all, the world is not the same. Many of your freedoms were already taken from you. But now, in the name of the fight in COVID-19, you will have to allow your countries to mark you somehow. In the name of health, in the name of life, in the name of moving forward and staying quarantined, you need to choose which freedom you're willing to give up.
That's right.
And the thing is, we're no longer at the point where we can say we don't want any freedom to be taken from us. We're at the point where we have to just choose which freedom to give them. So now we get to the point where, you're right, we will not be dealing with the mark of the beast, because we're not to be here when the Antichrist is introducing all of that. But planet Earth is not being conditioned to the idea that all people must be marked somehow for its purpose. And then when comes the Antichrist, and that will become already a spiritual aspect, not just a health issue, it'll be easier to sell it to the people.
People are going to run to whatever prevents their lives from being disrupted. That's what they don't want. I mean, we've seen this now for almost 3 months, and people, they've had it. I mean, they've lost jobs, they've had their lives interrupted, they've lost life savings, they've lost every investment in the stock market, or much of it anyway. Some is coming back now. They just don't want their lives to be disrupted, and some will do anything, which is setting the stage. And I think all we're saying is this is setting the stage for what is to come. But what is to come isn't here yet.
No, it's not here, but we need to get a reality check. We need to understand that's the world we can live in from now on.
Yes.
And we, as believers, should not be surprised. We shouldn't be surprised. I mean, why is it that we think that the world should be only a garden of roses and mm-hmm. there should be no problems and evil should not be attempting to reign and rule, and when we know that we were actually told the opposite? We were told
That's right.
that in this world we will have tribulation. We were told that it's not our home, that Jesus is preparing a place for us, that he will come and take us to be. What is the purpose, if everything is going to be so great here, what is the purpose for him to take us out
of
here?
That is so true. So you listed all these things that, let's just say again, the global elite have decided this will reduce Earth's population. They would like it down from, it's currently about 8 billion, down to 500 million. Perhaps what's going to happen during the tribulation is going to definitely take the Earth's population down to probably a few hundred million. And then you've explained how the COVID, the vaccinations, the abortion, redefining marriage, drug legalization, climate change due to too many people, all of that has been a stew put together that has absolutely resulted in what you outlined in your message. I want to talk about just a few other things here in this segment, then we're going to take our midpoint break and come back and talk about some more issues. We've only been talking about 25 minutes, and we've already brought into our discussion a form of theology known as dominionism or kingdom now. And they believe that we're going to make the world just perfect, and then Jesus Christ can return. And yet what we're saying is things, I opened with a clip of you saying to that effect, that the world is going to get worse and worse and worse until God says, enough, I'm taking my church out. Then he completes his purging of planet Earth and the salvation of Israel. But we've got this kingdom now dominionism out there, which is a growing theology, sadly.
Yeah, it's a growing theology because, let's face it, people have a hard time grasping the fact that we will literally, physically be removed out of here. It's too much for them to realize that. They can talk about the supernatural nature of God, and he's doing this and he's doing that, and he can fill your teeth with gold. And yet when it comes to the rapture, it sounds too fantastic. So let's just talk about another option. And the other option is, if we can't go up there, or if we're not going up there, we definitely can make things good here. And again, I think one of the things that they're confusing with is, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it in heaven. They don't understand that this whole discussion, the kingdom of God, has been dealt with by the disciples there in the time of Jesus. And he's talking about, of course, life of the believer at the time. It's not something you can see. It's not something you can touch. It's not something you can win or achieve. It's a different thing. They take that concept yeah. and make it a real kingdom that they are going to help him build here. Honestly, it's so sad because, first of all, it's not biblical, but second of all of the people that they're trying to get excited about it are constantly disappointed.
Yes.
Because there is nothing in this world that is getting better for the believer that is even indicating that this world is going to embrace Jesus as is right now.
Again, if pleasant things were going to happen, Jesus wouldn't have gone to heaven and prepared a place for us. He went and prepared a place for us so that he could remove us from a situation here on earth as things continue to deteriorate, which the Bible says will happen. 2 Timothy 3 talks about those perilous times, how towards the end of days things are going to consistently fall apart rather than get better. We're going to continue our discussion. Let me just say a word about Amir's book that we are carrying, and we're going to talk about it as we move into the programming here. Again, it's the day approaching, an Israeli's message of warning and hope for the last days. You hear us talking here in this first segment about a lot of things that sound a little bit hopeless. Honestly, Amir's message, and mine as well, consistently point to the hope of the Lord's return. It's called the rapture of the church. It's any minute. That's also known as imminent rapture of the church. Nothing has to happen. There really aren't signs for the rapture. There are a lot of signs for the second coming, and a lot of the second coming signs are casting a shadow on the church age, even as we speak, including the idea of pestilence. Let me just read a couple of paragraphs here from Mark Hitchcock. Mark writes, I'm going to have Mark on here in a month or so, and he's been interviewed on what's going on, and he just says this. He says, while he doesn't believe COVID-19 is one of the plagues mentioned in the Bible, Those, he said, are going to happen during the tribulation in the future. He does view this pandemic as a vivid preview of what's coming. And Mark goes on to say in this interview that I read, he says it's a wake-up call for people to come to Christ in light of what's coming in the future, which is going to be far worse. It's a very serious foreshadowing of what's to come. And then Mark says, I think it reveals the globalism of today. One person in China got this sometime in the fall, and now it's in some almost 200 countries. It's also a picture of how small our world is today and how things are set up for the world ruler, the Antichrist, who is coming. I see just a lot of foreshadows and previews in the coronavirus, but I don't see this as a fulfillment of specific prophecy. And then the article, I'm only reading a few paragraphs, he concludes, so many things that are happening in our world today. And then he lists Israel back in their land. The Middle East is constantly in turmoil. Globalism is occurring. All of these things are signposts and point to what the Bible predicts about the soon coming of Christ. He said, we don't know when he's coming. It could be today. It could be a few years from now. We're going to continue with a discussion here with Amir Sarfati. Again, you can learn more at beholdisrael.org. There's so much more I have to talk to Amir about. Frankly, I'm not quite leaving the idea of the vaccine yet. I'm going to ask Amir, all right, if Israel says you have to have it to travel, will he take it? And I want to consider some of those issues and a whole lot more. Is Bill Gates, is he somebody we have to be fearful of? Frankly, I don't think so, but these are some issues that I'm going to be discussing yet with Amir as we continue on here with Understanding the Times Radio. Don't go away. I'm coming back in just a minute or two.
We love friendly feedback. Write to us through our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. At 763-559-4444. We get our mail when you write to Olive Tree Ministries in Jan Markell, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. All gifts are tax deductible. More with Jan and Amir in a moment. We are carrying Amir Sarfati's new book, The Day Approaching, an Israeli's message of warning and hope for the last days. The book looks at the plans of the world, the church, Israel, and for you. As we look at the turmoil of our times now, many are asking if we are in a run-up to the very last of the last days. Tribulation events are casting a shadow on the church age. We have global events, including locusts, plagues, pestilence, and natural disasters that are of biblical proportion. Could God be sending warning signs to both the world and the church? In the Bible, Jesus spoke about the signs that would make it clear his return is near. Learn what those are and how they are evident today. As a native Israeli believer, Amir Sarfati has a distinct perspective that weaves biblical history, current events, and Bible prophecy together to shine the light on the mysteries about the last days. Find this compelling book in our online store at olivetreeviews.org, that's olivetreeviews.org, in our print and e-newsletter, or call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444.
While in America, you're seeing people such as Fauci and his gang that are making millions of vaccines and millions of viruses. They own patents. They are friends with billionaires that are pushing vaccinations, that they're funding all of that. There's a different ballgame between what I see in my country and what I see over there.
Please visit our online store at olivetreeviews.org. We have books, DVDs, and other items that will help you grow in your faith and also understand the times. We post articles daily at our website, including headlines. We have appreciated Amir Sarfati's teachings at our last five conferences in the Twin Cities area. We still have some DVDs of our more recent fall events. Now here are Jan and Amir to wrap up part one of our two-part series.
There in the gathering twilight, as Jesus looked out over the city, Peter and John approached him, fearing that if the temple was destroyed, the end of the world would soon follow. Troubled and confused, they asked, "Lord, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?" Once again, Christ answered with the full power of prophetic truth, as he described for his disciples and every generation that would follow the extraordinary signs and events that will one day culminate in the end of human history.
The teachings of Jesus and the Mount of Olives are absolutely essential to any understanding of future events and end times chronology for a couple of reasons. It's Jesus speaking, first of all. And secondly, it's in response to a specific question and set of questions such as, what are the signs of your return and of the end of the age? And it's the only time that Jesus really took the time to lay out a chronology, detail by detail and sequence by sequence, for us to understand.
He knows the end from the beginning. He's God, and on him the Spirit, the Bible says, rested without measure. Now, the Holy Spirit rested on all the prophets, but I think we can depend on the words of Jesus in a special category. And what he did is he gave us an outline on which all other prophecy must rest.
Christ's description of the end times is now recorded in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. In each of these accounts, Jesus foretells the incredible scenario that will unfold during the final chapters of the earth's history.
Listen to my words. There will be great distress, unequaled from the beginning of the world until now, and never to be equaled again. If those days had not been cut short, no one would survive.
And welcome back. I'm spending this hour with Amir Sarfati. Yeah, we're talking about some, well, end of days issues. I encourage you to sign up for my e-newsletter and his. Sign up for mine at olivetreeviews.org, olivetreeviews.org. Sign up for his various e-announcements at beholdisrael.org. We're very active on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and more. If you are a visual person, we're making our YouTubes and our videos for his channel very visual, so check it out. Our YouTube channel and hischannel.com if you'd like to view portions of the programming in a more video-like form. Now, talking for the hour with Amir Sarfati, and we're going to get into his book in a little bit, but I want to cover some of the current events. We've had a current event going on since March. I commented opening the program that he and I were ministering in Southern California in January. The world was fairly normal at that time, late January, just probably a week later, everything was going to change. A month later, everything would be upside down. And my goodness, now we're into the middle of May. And indeed, we have a world that, as I said in my opening, I feel like I've fallen down a hole in the Mad Hatter. It's kind of running the world and everything's upside down. And Amir, I kind of teased a little bit in my first half of the program, and we weren't teasing about the vaccine and the various ramifications, good and bad, about a vaccine. I want to clarify it. We started talking a little bit about the mark of the beast, and a mark is associated with worshiping a beast, denying God, aligning with evil, and none of that is going to be happening in the church age. And yet we do have folks who are very concerned that a vaccination is leading to a mark of the beast type thing. I have heard you say, Amir Sarfati, that you're not going to interrupt your ministry. You've traveled. You've got to fly. All right, you have to have a vaccine. So be it.
Listen, there is a virus outside. Let's face it. Now, if the virus was made in a lab or whatever, was it released intentionally or unintentionally, it doesn't change the fact that there's a virus. The virus can kill people. The virus can disrupt life. And if we can find a way to avoid it, or look, nobody takes vaccine if you already have the antibodies for it.
True.
If you already are self-vaccine or self-immune, of course you won't need it. But if you don't, and you might risk yourself, then I'm saying, why not? I mean, I prefer to live than to die. If I was someone who is of a certain age with a very not easy medical record, I would consider that, definitely. But let's face it, I don't think we will, in the future, have even a choice. If you want to do certain activities such as traveling, countries will somehow demand to see that either you have been vaccinated or your body has already created the antibodies that make you immune. That's it. And it's either or. If I don't have the antibody, if I'm not immune and I need it in order to travel and minister, why not? Look, I'm not getting the mark of the beast.
They're not getting the mark of the beast. That's the point. No, of course not.
I'm not under the spell of the cabal of the globalists. I come against them. In fact, I travel around the world to expose them.
You expose them, right.
Exactly. So I don't think we should be so paranoid about vaccinations in general. We should test things as they come, and we should understand that there's a very good possibility that most of the society is already immune because of the fact that an antibody has been created. Because you had it, it is a very mild case, you didn't even know you had it. Yeah. They say that in New York City, something that varies between 12 to 20% that they had it, they didn't know. Those tests that they're running right now are not necessarily tests to see. You don't have it when you are asymptomatic, when you have no symptoms. Nobody knows that you have it. You don't cough, you don't have fever, yet there is a very good chance you had COVID-19.
I'm changing direction here just a little bit because, in the interest of time, there's another angle that I kind of want to run by you, and that is, quite frankly, 4 or 5 months ago, we did not have what has kind of turned into a police state. And I mean globally, but certainly in America as well. Just read two paragraphs from Dennis Prager. He writes this, that what's going on is a dress rehearsal for a police state. And he says, but the ease with which police state tactics have been employed and the equal ease with which most Americans have accepted them have been breathtaking. By the way, I would agree here. He says people will argue that a temporary police state has been justified because of the allegedly unique threat to life posed by the new coronavirus. Prager says, I do not believe the data will bear that out. Regardless, let us at least agree that we are closer to a police state than ever in American history. Then he concludes, police state does not mean totalitarian state. America is not a totalitarian state. We still have many freedoms in a totalitarian state. This article could not be legally published. And if it were illegally published, I would be imprisoned and or executed. But, he concludes, we are presently living with all four of the key hallmarks of a police state. Amir Sarfati, I would agree with that, speaking as an American. Now, I can't speak for what's going on in Israel. Would you affirm that some of that's happening in Israel as well?
Absolutely. And I believe a lot of it has to do with misleading the people by the World Health Organization and by the CDC in America. And that has ripple effects on other medical systems in other countries around the world. Listen, I've seen enough doctors. By the way, I've never seen so many doctors having their own Facebook Live broadcast,
yes. Uh-huh.
And so many nurses that are having the guts to fall apart in front of the camera and cry because nobody's listening to them. There are some lights in the darkness. But the thing is this, I certainly believe that when police runs after somebody who was kite surfing on one hand, and on the other hand releases real criminals from prison they're afraid of COVID-19 in prison cells, we've got a problem here. We've got a problem when a pastor is being imprisoned for holding a service and a rapist is being released because of COVID-19. There is some sort of lack of good judgment. But let's face it, the problem in America is that in most of those liberal states where there's a liberal governor, they don't even hide the fact that this is the right time to push liberal and progressive agenda. They are saying that Newsom said that in the Michigan one.
That's
said
right.
That. We've heard them saying that even the clown from New York said that. I'm sorry, I'm disrespectful, but I don't have much respect to people that are legislating such unbelievable abortion laws.
Exactly.
Allowing you to kill the baby even 9 months also. But the point is this, Israel has also several things that we consider them violation of our rights. But the Israelis, the difference between us and what we see in America is here, You see, leaders that are genuinely interested to save their people's lives, there's no agenda here. While in America, you're seeing people such as Fauci and his gang that are making millions of vaccines and millions of viruses. They own patents. They are friends with billionaires that are pushing vaccinations, that they're funding all of that. There's a different ballgame between what I see in my country and what I see over there. We both just played that clip where I say that this group of elite, the cabal, is central mostly in Northern America and in Western Europe. We see that. In Israel, I'm still trusting my government and the authorities here to do. I mean, we do have crazy liberal media. We do have crazy liberal people on the political ground. But when it comes to the health of the Israelis, I am a little bit more at ease here than I would be if I was an American.
I see a headline here from Breaking Israel News, and it's short headline, Fearing Civil War, Prominent New York Rabbi Suddenly Urges American Jews to Leave for Israel. I guess he's referring to the climate here in the U.S., Civil War-like climate, which he's accurate there. Some good things are coming out of all of this crisis that's been going on for 3 months. It's a call for Jews to go back to Israel. There's the getting out of the gospel, particularly online, like never before. God is doing good things in the midst of all of this.
There's a lot of good things. I will be honest with you. A lot of people know that my schedule was crazy. Flying, traveling, leading tours in Israel. Personally, to me, this time of stopping and being home with the family and doing stuff from here, personally, it was almost like needed. You also see that there is a drop in crime, there is a drop in pollution, and there's a lot of good stuff, okay? It's not all bad. In fact, a lot of people find out that they can live without daily shopping. They can live without having certain people working in their household. They can do stuff themselves.
But I've heard you say, Amir, I'm talking to Amir Sarfati this hour, I've heard you say, in the end, people will go back to their old ways and even more so live their life as if there is no tomorrow. So you feel that the lessons being learned in this time period, and we don't know if this is going to be 3 months, 6 months, a year, 18 months, we don't know, but you feel that really no serious lesson is going to be learned by the average person. I'm not suggesting Christians, but your average person.
First of all, I believe coronavirus is a sort of a warning from God, not the punishment of God. It's not the judgment of God. But it is a warning, and I think that he who has ears, let him hear what the Spirit has to say. I think if a person is being drawn unto Jesus because of that, and if he can find himself reevaluating his life purposes and understanding that time is short, am I even having any purpose in my life, then great. But unfortunately, most of what I see is the race to go back to normal, but now they'll go back to normal with the understanding that everything might collapse very soon or maybe one day. So let's make the most out of the moment. We know, by the way, that's the climate that is going to characterize the days prior to the rise of the Antichrist.
That's right.
I mean, people will just live their life like in the days of Noah. And remember, Noah was the only one who prepared himself
for
the flood. He's the only one who was engaged in building an ark while everybody else did whatever they wanted. And that's what we do. We are right now, the believers are building their ark in a way. We are preparing ourselves. We are to be ready. The bride must be ready. We are to warn people. We are to tell people. But we are not to live life just like they do. We are called to be set apart.
You have opened a door that I want to go through. I want to discuss the situation with this Mr. Fix-It, man with a plan, the Antichrist. I want to introduce it by playing a short clip and then come back, and I want to talk to you about the role of the Antichrist, Amir, and particularly the role of the Antichrist when it comes to Israel.
The tribulation may well begin with Israel facing an age-old crisis. She is threatened on all sides by her Arab neighbors. With the prospect of war growing by the day, the always tenuous security of the country will appear more vulnerable than ever before. As tension in the Middle East reaches fever pitch, a charismatic world leader will arise out of Europe, offering the Jews the one thing they most desperately seek.
They're harassed by the Arabs, they're harassed by the enemies, the anti-Semites from all over the world, and here comes a world leader that wants to give them the guarantee of peace. He's going to come on the world scene and be the leader, and he's going to amalgamate the world and bring all of these countries together in the name of world peace.
The Bible refers to this leader by many names: Master of Intrigue, Worthless Shepherd, the Beast, the Antichrist. In what appears to be an extraordinary act of diplomacy, the Antichrist aligns himself with Israel and brokers a peace agreement with the Arab nations, preventing an all-out war.
And when he makes a league or a covenant with the children of Israel, a peace covenant for 7 years, it's not for 10 years, 15 years, it's 7 years. And when he makes that covenant, that starts the tribulation period.
Yet immediately after the peace accord is signed, any thought of tribulation is obscured by the Antichrist's soaring popularity. Empowered by Satan, he becomes the head of a European confederacy of nations that will rule the world in its final days. Many scholars believe this confederation will stand as the most powerful economic, political, and military force in history.
I believe.
To a planet weary of turmoil and war, the Antichrist is hailed as a savior. To the Jews, the treaty he has forged represents the key to the fulfillment of a dream, the reconstruction of their temple.
Once the Antichrist comes on the scene, the Bible clearly indicates that he'll sign a peace treaty with the nation of Israel. Some believe that that peace treaty will allow them to rebuild their temple, and that he will guarantee them security and survival in the Middle East.
Familiar voices of Ed Heinzen, Tim LaHaye from an online film. Amir, you and I are careful not to start to try to figure out who the Antichrist is, even false prophets, though the office of Pope is extremely suspicious when it comes to the false prophet. I just want to make an observation, and I want your comment. And I'm extremely cautious with Emmanuel Macron, but he came out about a week or two ago stating, let me get the quote correctly, 42-year-old President Emmanuel Macron faced many challenges governing his country, is now positioning himself to take over the mantle of global leadership long reserved for those much older than he, particularly Americans, etc. Right now, he has no real challengers, and then it goes on to say that he wants to introduce this role of global leader, he being the global leader, with a peace type of a worldwide ceasefire, no wars anywhere. You and I are skeptical that he is Mr. Fix-It, the Antichrist. Nonetheless, he certainly is a type, he's a foreshadowing of the Antichrist. Your comment on this, when the man is so blatantly wanting to be a world leader, and then we have him walking on water on The Economist from about 3 years ago now.
Well, first of all, I agree with you that he's a foreshadow, he's a forerunner. I personally think that it'll have to take somebody a little bit more charismatic than Macron.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't even take care of your own household,
that is true.
Ron,
mm-hmm.
I doubt if you can take care of everything else. Nobody takes you seriously. But think about it. They try to push him to be a candidate a couple of years ago, and it didn't work. And they're trying now, under the wings of the pandemic, to do the same thing once again. It might work again. Look, they always try.
Yes.
I believe that every generation there is some sort of a person who is a candidate for Antichrist, and they're trying. But again, God is not allowing it yet. There are appointed times. In this case, none of us know what's going to happen 2-3 years from now. Judging from his performance in his own country, I don't see him being in that, but I do see why he's being pushed for it, why he's being groomed for that. It's the perfect image of a West European. Young, handsome,
right,
and successful and rising star, a meteor. He rose to power out of nowhere, literally.
You have a couple of messages, and folks, you need to look them up on YouTube, or you can get some of our CDs and DVDs from past conferences. You have one message that I've played, I think, 2 or 3 times on air, Europe ready for the Antichrist, and we can't go into all of that. But again, Europe is the target zone. Europe is kind of the hub. You even went to a city in Germany.
Berlin.
Berlin, where the seat of Satan sits. Talk to me about that.
Well, there is a museum called Pergamon Museum in Berlin, and it's obviously named after the city of Pergamon in Turkey. German archaeologists who were excavating in the very beginning of the 20th century, in the 1900s, they actually not only excavated in Turkey, but they took everything they found as is to Berlin to be exhibited over there. And there are two major things in that museum. They're the highlight of the museum, and this is why the museum is named that way. One is the Ishtar Gate, the famous blue-colored stone gate of Babylon. And the second one is the seat of Satan and the entire complex of the altar of Zeus from Pergamon Museum. And think about it. It's almost like they brought the Babylonian spirit into Western Europe, and they proudly took that which the book of Revelation in chapter 2 considers as the seat of Satan in the city of Pergamon, and they brought it all the way to Berlin. As I said in that message, up until the Roman Empire, it has always been so that the empires that fought against Babylon, they fought there in Babylon, and they ended up having everything there physically. It seems like the Roman Empire, and of course, as I said, now the new Roman Empire, the emerging union of West European countries that imitates the ancient Roman Empire, all of that is where the Babylonian spirit moved, was imported into Western Europe.
But I think we need to clarify, Amir, that because of Corona, because of the virus, Europe is falling apart. European Union is falling apart, is what I mean to say.
Right. The European Union is bleeding right now.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it took them too long to close their borders.
Yeah.
It takes them too long to reopen them. And it took them too long to support countries that were afflicted. Italy is the example. No wonder why the Italians are burning online. They're burning the EU flags because that flag means nothing to them right now. They realize that when the money time came, when the rubber hit the road, that's when the EU was not there for them. They also see that the EU bank, the central bank of the EU, is quicker to help Iran than to help its own people.
Yeah, good point.
They also see that in crisis like between Turkey and Greece, the EU does nothing. Between Turkey and Cyprus, the EU does nothing. So the EU is not supporting our financial interests. The EU is not supporting our health interests. The EU is not supporting our political interests. Why are we even part of it?
Exactly.
And coronavirus exposed it to the point that they are considering right now reshuffling everything. And I'm wondering if that conglomerate of over 30 countries is going to eventually become the 10 horn.
That's a good note to end on this program. Folks, we're going to pick this up again next week. And before I close, I want to read a paragraph from Amir's new book, The Day Approaching, because these are some things I want to talk about in next week's program. And I hope you caught the significance of what Amir just said seconds ago. That is European Union again. If this is where the Antichrist comes out of, which I believe the Bible is quite clear is the case, the stage is being set, is all we're saying. Stage is being set for so many things. But here's a paragraph I want to read as we go out of this program. And he writes this: the day of the 70th week is approaching. God is going to deal once again with Israel. The valley between the peaks was a desert for the Jews, but then came 1948 and suddenly Israel was back home. God has brought Israel back, and now we are waiting for him to pour his spirit upon the Jewish people. What a glorious day it will be when we see mass repentance and reconciliation between the Lord and his chosen nation. Lift up your eyes. The base of the mountain is almost at our feet, and the path of the church is nearing the end. We're going to talk about that next week. What does he mean by the path of the church is nearing the end? Well, there's coming a time, the time of Jacob's trouble, where it's really all about Israel. Church isn't talking about that much these days, but we'll talk about that when we come back next week. Again, learn more at beholdisrael.org. You can find the various products that I've talked about, particularly the new book and his previous book, The Last Hour, in my store, olivetreeviews.org. olivetreeviews.org. Learn more about Amir Sarfati and his ministry, Behold Israel, at beholdisrael.org. And just as I go out of the program, somebody sent me this in an email and I loved it, so I decided to close today's program with it. The writer says this: no, we don't live in uncertain times, not at all. These times are as certain as any times in all of human history, and the God of the universe has laid out this time and season in great detail, point by point, and in fact, with all the detail needed by his people to live in times of absolute certainty. So no, there's nothing uncertain about the times we live in to the believer who is seeking to live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. I want to thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you again next week.
If we have made a difference in your life, let us hear from you. We get our mail when you write to Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. Call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. You can write to us through our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Join us next week for part two with Amir Sarfati. Jan and Amir talk about troubling times and circumstances, but remind you that things the Bible foretold are all falling into place.